Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers who work in many fields and teach us the art of living, how to work in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace, and use the technological advances available to us. Approximately every 2,500 years, a new teacher brings a body of teaching to humanity that is suited to our needs at that particular time. Usually this takes place at the end of an age. Right now, as the age of Pisces declines and our solar system aligns with the constellation Aquarius, new energies are beginning to make themselves felt. As these Aquarian energies of sharing and justice stream into our planet, the need for change can be seen more clearly. A period of chaos ensues as the old order lessens its grip on humanity, and the impulse of sharing, justice and peace inspires us to move forward in evolution as a united group.
Good morning and welcome to our Friday program. The first article we have comes from the September issue of Share International magazine. It's headed, Next 18 Months Critical to Addressing Climate Change Crisis. It says, do you remember the good old days when we had 12 years to save the planet? Now it seems there is a growing consensus that the next 18 months will be critical in dealing with the global heating crisis, among other environmental challenges. So begins a July 2019 article by BBC environment correspondent Matt McGrath.
The 12 years to save the planet reference comes from the UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, which said last year that in order to keep the increase in global temperatures below 1.5 degrees this century compared to pre-industrial levels, emissions of carbon dioxide would have to be reduced by 45% by 2030. But as the BBC article states, today observers recognise that the decisive political steps to enable the cuts in carbon to take place will have to happen before the end of the year.
One of the world's top climate scientists spoke about this 2020 deadline back in 2017. He says, the climate math is brutally clear. While the world can't be healed within the next few years, it may be fatally wounded by negligence until 2020, said Hans Joachim Schellenhuber, founder and now director emeritus of the Potsdam Climate Institute. The UK's Prince Charles, a longtime environmentalist, agrees with this assessment. Speaking at a reception for Commonwealth foreign ministers in July 2019, he said, I am firmly of the view that the next 18 months will decide our ability to keep climate change to survivable levels and to restore nature to the equilibrium we need for our survival.
The Prince was referring to a series of critical UN meetings that are due to take place between now and the end of 2020. Under the terms of the Global Climate Agreement signed in Paris in December 2015, the countries have promised to improve their carbon-cutting plans by the end of 2020. The first major gathering to address this issue will be the UN Climate Action Summit, called by UN Secretary-General Antonio Guterres, which will be held in New York, which has been held in New York on 23rd September 2019. Guterres has said that he only wants countries to attend the summit if they can make significant offers to enhance their national carbon reduction plans.
This summit will be followed by a conference of all parties to the Paris Agreement, COP25, which will be held in San Diego, Chile in December 2019. And finally, COP26, which takes place at the end of the 2020 in the UK. Prince Charles' view that the next 18 months are critical is shared by some climate negotiators.
Ambassador Janine Carlson from Belize, who is the chief strategist for the Alliance of Small Island States Group in the UN, said, "Our group of small island developing states share Prince Charles' sense of the profound urgency for ambitious climate action. All at once, we are witness to a collective convergence of public mobilization, worsening climatic impacts and dire scientific warnings that compel decisive climate leadership. Without question, 2020 is a hard deadline for that leadership to finally manifest itself."
Right now, there's nothing like enough understanding of or commitment to this among leading countries, said Professor Michael Jacobs from the University of Sheffield, a former climate advisor to Prime Minister Gordon Brown. That's why the UN Secretary General is holding a summit in September. And the source of that was the BBC.
Another little report titled Climate Change and Land, IPCC's new special report. IPCC stands for the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. And they approved a report titled Climate Change and Land, an IPCC special report on climate change, desertification, land degradation, sustainable management, land management, food security and greenhouse gas fluxes in terrestrial ecosystems at its 50th session held on 2nd to 7th August in 2019 in Geneva, Switzerland. The approved summary for policymakers was presented at a press conference on the 8th of August. Global heating is increasing droughts, soil erosion and wildfires, while diminishing crop yields in the tropics and thawing permafrost near the poles, says the report. It makes clear that humanity faces an urgent choice. Continued destruction of forests and huge emissions from cattle and other intensive farming practices, or immediate action to allow soils and forests to regenerate and store carbon. The report also suggests cutting meat consumption and food waste. Such policy decisions would also improve human health, cut poverty levels, and help to tackle the huge losses of wildlife, the IPCC says. Burning of fossil fuels should also end to avoid irreversible loss in land ecosystem services required for food, health, and habitable settlements.
"This is a perfect storm," said Dave Ray, a professor at the University of Edinburgh, who was an expert reviewer for the IPCC report. He says, "Limited land and expanding human population and all wrapped in a suffocating blanket of climate emergency. Earth has never felt smaller. Its natural ecosystems never under such direct threat." Piers Foster, a professor at the University of Leeds, said, "This important report shows we need to substantially change the way we use our land to limit temperature changes below 1.5 degrees Celsius. In a nutshell, we need less pasture for livestock and more trees." Professor Jim Skier from the IPCC said, "The land was already struggling and climate change was adding to its burdens. Almost three-quarters of ice-free land was now directly affected by human activity."
Poor land use is also behind almost a quarter of the planet's greenhouse gas emissions. The destruction of forests, huge cattle herds, and overuse of chemical fertilizers being key factors. Emissions relating to fertilizers have risen ninefold since the early 1960s. Rising temperatures are causing deserts to spread, particularly in Asia and Africa, and the Americas and Mediterranean are also at risk, the report says. One of the starkest conclusions in the report is that soil, upon which humanity is entirely dependent, is being lost more than 100 times faster than it is being formed in ploughed areas, and lost 10 to 20 times faster even on fields that are not tilled. The report recommends strong action from governments and business, including ending deforestation and enabling new forests to grow, reforming farming subsidies, supporting small farmers and breeding more resilient crops. The problem is that many of those solutions would take decades to have an impact, the IPCC says.
Consumers in rich nations could act immediately by reducing their consumption of intensively produced meat and dairy foods, products that have a huge environmental impact. There is much more we could do in that space that we are not doing, partly because it is difficult, said Pete Smith, a professor at the University of Aberdeen and a senior IPCC author. Planting more than 500 billion trees could remove about 25% of existing carbon from the atmosphere, according to a new study published in the journal Science. The study assessed how much new forest the Earth could support without encroaching on farmland or urban areas, and came up with a figure of 0.9 billion hectares, or 2.22 billion acres, an area approximately the size of the U.S. Our study shows clearly that forest restoration is the best climate change solution available today, and it provides hard evidence to justify investment, said senior study author Tom Crowther, a professor at the Swiss University ETH Zurich.
He says, if we act now, this could cut carbon dioxide in the atmosphere by up to 25% to levels last seen almost a century ago. The new trees would remove around 20 gigatons of carbon, or two-thirds of what humans have emitted into the atmosphere since the Industrial Revolution. In terms of cost, Crowther said that the most effective projects do restoration at about 30 cents per tree, meaning that restoring a trillion trees would cost about $300 billion, which makes tree restoration by far the cheapest solution that has ever been proposed. The researchers emphasised that tree planting was not a replacement for reducing greenhouse gas emissions or phasing out the use of fossil fuels. None of this works without emission cuts, Crowther told Time magazine.
Even if tree planting began today, it would take 50 to 100 years for the new trees to soak up 200 gigatons of carbon, he said to The Guardian. And as National Geographic explained, the researchers found that potential tree planting land could shrink by one-fifth by 2050, even if global temperatures rise is limited to 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels, as some tropical areas could grow too hot to support forests. Even so, Crowther said, tree planting was an important means of immediate climate action. It is a climate change solution that doesn't require President Trump to immediately start believing in climate change or scientists to come up with technological solutions to draw carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere, Crowther said. It is available now. It is the cheapest one possible, and every one of us should get involved. And the source of that was EcoWatch, the BBC, The Guardian UK, Time, National Geographic USA, and Common Dreams.
So for our next piece, again on the theme of climate change, we have one titled The Pope's Appeal on Climate Change. And this is also from EcoWatch. In his message for the annual World Day of Prayer for the Care of Creation in August, when Hurricane Dorian began its assault on the Bahamas, Pope Francis urged the world to heed calls to urgently address the climate crisis and ensure our common future. He says, "We have caused a climate emergency that gravely threatens nature and life itself, including our own," the pontiff said. "In this ecological crisis affecting everyone, we should also feel close to all other men and women of goodwill, called to promote stewardship of the network of life of which we are a part."
His appeals for action were addressed both to individuals and political leaders. He wrote, "It is also a season to reflect on our lifestyle and how our daily decisions about food, consumption, transportation, use of water, energy, and many other material goods can often be thoughtless and harmful. too many of us act like tyrants with regards to creation. Let us make an effort to change and to adopt more simple and respectful lifestyles. Now is the time to abandon our dependence on fossil fuels and move quickly and decisively towards a form of clean energy and a sustainable and circular economy. Let us also learn to listen to indigenous people whose age-old wisdom can teach us how to live in a better relationship with the environment. Let us say no to consumerist greed and to the illusion of omnipotence, for these are the ways of death. Instead, leaders should undertake far-sighted processes involving responsible sacrifices today for the sake of sure prospect for life tomorrow.
And again, that was from EcoWatch. Looks like we have time to read you an article by Benjamin Krems Master. And this article was given in May 1996. And we find that these articles are often very relevant, even many years later. And so it is with this one. So this one is Man's Momentous Choice. And here it reads. There comes a time in the history of men, nations, and races when they must reorient themselves to the reality of the life in which they have their being and seek to understand the purpose of their existence and the means by which that purpose may better be fulfilled. Today, the present race of men, the fifth in historical sequence, and all the nations stand at such a point. Soon, men everywhere will be called upon to weigh heavily the consequence of their actions. On their decisions rests the future of this world. Very soon now, Maitreya will present the nations with a momentous choice to continue in the present fearful, self-destructive mode and perish one and all, or to follow him into a simpler, saner, safer way of life which will guarantee a happier future for all the peoples of Earth and link man once again to his destiny as an evolving son of God. When men understand the nature of the choice before them, happiness or extinction, they will surely hesitate but little in making their decision. To help them in that undertaking, Maitreya will analyse the present problems and show in all clarity the results of the various actions that men might take. Gifted as he is with foresight and age-old experience, he will remind men of their divine heritage and show them the way to claim their inheritance. Thus shall it be. Thus shall the teacher of men and of angels begin his mission, and thus shall the sons of men restart their journey to become the sons of God.
Assailed on all sides by the relentless pressure of market forces, men are gradually awakening to its antidote, a true understanding of the mystery and beauty of all life. Ground down and marginalized by rampant commercialization, men are turning to the nurturing life or fire of their inner lives and finding solace therein. A myriad miracles, east and west, remind them of the unseen presence of the divine in life and hold before them the promise of a better future for men. Expectantly, men await the teacher. Knowingly or not, they have called him forth. Maitreya stands ready to emerge and to begin his call to men. See yourself as one and enter your birthright. See and know the meaning of justice and peace. Learn to love and to trust and know the beauty of life. See all men as your brothers and become the gods you are. Thus shall the great Lord speak. Thus shall he awaken the hearts of men to the imperatives of the time of decision, the time of all times, is now upon the race. Think well and wisely and choose a future bathed in light. And that was from 1996, May.
Thank you very much for listening. We have run out of time. If you'd like more information, check out the website share-international.org. Love and blessings to you all.